I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for October the 7th, 2013, to order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Brown?
Here.
Mrs. Capalini?
Here.
Mr. Hanem?
Here.
Mrs. Hussman?
Here.
Mr. Milner?
Here.
Mrs. Westfall?
Here.
All six current members of City Council are present. There is one vacant seat, so a quorum is present for this evening's meeting. I welcome all of you to our City Council meeting for this evening. There are, I can still see them from here, agendas on the two side tables up against the walls, if you would like to follow the meeting agenda as we proceed. If there's an item you would like to be recognized to speak on as the evening proceeds, please raise your hand, and I will recognize you at the appropriate time. At this time, I invite you to join us in our Pledge of Allegiance, this meeting led by Councilman Brown.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Pledge of Allegiance reminds me of something I saw when I was traveling this past weekend. I was traveling back from Maine, and I was flying out of the Bangor, Maine Airport. And it's a small airport like Toledo's airport, but it was absolutely packed with young people in uniform. And I was fortunate enough to get to talk to some of them. There were about 300 National Guard reservists who were on their way. They flew out while I was still there for Germany and Afghanistan. There was not a smile among them, but there was patriotism just dripping all over that airport. I was very impressed by those young people, but saddened that those fine young men are still, and women, there were a few women in uniform as well, were still shipping out to Afghanistan, even though we're pulling out of Afghanistan. About 300 reservists being torn away from their lives. That Pledge of Allegiance means a lot to me. Let's move on to additions to the agenda. There are some additions and changes I'd like to talk about. First off, in Agenda Item Number 8, 8A, Ordinance 70 should read Ordinance 24 instead of 70. That's the number that was assigned to this ordinance when it first came to council and before it went to the Plan Commission and the public hearing. We need to keep that number consistent. When we get to it, you should change it on your ordinance as well. You found at your council seats tonight four additional ordinances. There is a replacement Ordinance 72, 73, and 74. Please remove the ones from your council packets, 8, B, C, and D, and put these in there. And then there is another one. We had a comment, an email comment from the chairman of the zoning committee last week recommending that we also consider a similar ordinance for R3 multifamily zoning. That is also at your seats. It's Ordinance 78, 2013. Make that 8E. That's all the changes I have. Mrs. Westfall?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Members of council?
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Hanem?
Yeah, I'd like to add two items. One, a discussion of our BZA appointment, which we have.
Sure. We got a notice on that in your packet?
Right.
Let's make that 15.
And the second one, the second issue I'd like to add is a discussion of the applications that we have to our CRA committees and discuss how we're going to proceed with those.
All right, that'll be 16. Those are both appointment-type discussions. Very good. Other members of City Council? Mr. Schreier?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Protis, I couldn't see you.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Sanford, I couldn't see you behind the chair either. I was looking.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Moe?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
All right, very well. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Agenda is approved as amended. Agenda Item 4 is approval from our meeting minutes from our last meeting on September the 16th. Mrs. Westfall?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Unless there are any corrections, I move that the Journal of Minutes of the September
16th, 2013 meeting of Sylvania City Council be approved as submitted.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that the meeting minutes from September 16th, 2013 be approved as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and those meeting minutes are approved. Agenda item five, as all of council is aware, there's a vacancy on city council. I believe you all have a copy of Mr. Lukey's retirement letter in your council packets. As a result of that, a vacancy does exist on council. At this time, I think it's appropriate to let the law director give us the quick response of what the charter says about vacancies on our city council. Mr. Moan.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, our charter is clear as to the process. And that process, although fairly simple in its verbiage, simply stated that when a vacancy occurs, city council has the authority and responsibility of selecting a replacement council member to fill out the unexpired term. They have 30 days from the date of resignation to do that. Should council fail to elect a replacement with a majority vote of those remaining council members, then that appointment passes to the mayor after the 30-day period. And that's what the charter calls for, and so right now we're at the stage of that 30-day initial period.
Council has been through this sort of an appointment in the past. I'm sure that you've had a chance to discuss it. I will remain in the chair of the meeting for this. I guess what I should ask, are there any current nominations that you'd like to make? Mr. Milner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In November of 2011, Mr. Mark Lukey was elected by the city voters with the expectation that he would serve his full term. So in light of that, I would like to nominate Mr. Lukey for this seat.
All right, there's a nomination and a second for Mr. Lukey. Are there any further nominations?
Mr. Mayor, I move nominations be closed.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. We need to vote on that motion first. The motion on the floor is to close nominations with just the one nominee. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So we're back to the Mr. Milner's motion to appoint Mr. Lukey to fill the remaining term for this seventh seat on council. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and congratulations, Mr. Lukey. You are reappointed to this city council. You're welcome to come forward, take the oath of office, and resume your seat.
Would you raise your right hand? Repeat after me, I do solemnly swear.
I do solemnly swear.
In the presence of Almighty God.
In the presence of Almighty God.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the State of Ohio.
The Constitution of the State of Ohio.
And the Charter of the City of Sylvania, Ohio.
And the Charter of the City of Sylvania, Ohio.
And will faithfully discharge the duties.
And will faithfully discharge the duties.
Of the public office of member of council of the City of Sylvania.
Of the public office of member of council of the City of Sylvania.
Congratulations.
Yep.
Please join us at the council table. I believe there might be a council packet waiting here. All right. Does there happen to be a name plaque?
I believe it's down here.
All right. Everybody knows who you are. Let the council meeting minutes now show that council is at full strength for this meeting with all seven members of council present. Moving on to agenda item six, you have in your council packets a memo from the Director of Public Service. As requested, the administration's recommendation for the complaint of stray cats in the Lincoln Woods neighborhood of North Vicksburg Drive. This memo was pursued by Mr. Aller with Humane Ohio, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Aller, but let me just summarize what it says. We are following a recommendation that has been used in other neighborhoods, one in Sylvania Township, just south of Sylvania Avenue in the Farmbrook neighborhood, to work with Humane Ohio, who will provide cages and will spay or neuter these stray cats. We have no laws that we can fine any neighbor that's been feeding cats. These are not cats that are owned, they are stray cats. Certainly homeowners have a right to trap them and adopt them out or something on their own, but that apparently has not worked in this neighborhood. And so Humane Ohio will provide at a reasonable fee, the traps to capture and then to spay and neuter, and these cats will be released back where they were found. Now, I've also asked the service director to pursue a second option that I might want council to consider, and that is to have Humane Ohio provide the labor necessary to install the traps, transport the cats, and return them so that the neighbors do not have to do that. And why don't you give us your results of that inquiry?
Okay. Yes, Mr. Mayor, I did call and inquire as to what this cost would be. Humane Ohio does provide that service. They basically ask that the homeowner or entity cover their manpower costs as well as any mileage costs, gas costs. That would add approximately, and I'm making some estimates here based on travel time, time to set traps, and things of that nature, but that would add approximately $40 per cat to the cost. Obviously, if they come out and set several traps at once, we don't have all of the trips. I looked at it strictly on an individual basis, not knowing how many they would be doing at one time. So there would be some savings if we had multiple traps set up one time. So that's an estimate, but based on the cost that they provide, that would be in the ballpark.
What's the number of cats that have been estimated in the neighborhood that might be trapped?
I've had neighbors indicate in the neighborhood of about 20 cats.
All right, so 20 cats times $80 or $90 each, something like that?
Yes.
All right. It's this administration's recommendation that council consider those two options of working with Humane Ohio. Years ago, this council explored all different possibilities to trap the cats, make feeding of them illegal, euthanize the cats. None of those were worthwhile. This is a proven technique for slowing down the cat population growth. It's been used in the nearby neighborhood in Farmbrook, just south of this neighborhood, and I think it's the proper approach. Council, though, should authorize these funds, whether for all the expenses, whether for the more expensive option or the less expensive option, but the administration recommends that this cost be split with the neighbors. I don't feel this is a business that the city should be getting into on its own. The neighbors certainly have an opportunity to trap the cats and find new homes for those cats on their own. They come to us to ask for help. That's what we're proposing to do. Now, before you decide that, I'm going to see if there's anybody in the, first off, does anybody on council want to talk?
Mrs. Can I ask a question? Capolini. Is there any way to pass on the expense to the neighbor that's creating the nuisance? It doesn't seem right for the neighbors that...
I don't think it's possible. You may have that nuisance applied in your own mind, but I can't confirm that. We may hear from that person here in a few minutes. I'm not sure, but I'm told that there's more than one person feeding cats there, and she didn't bring them into the neighborhood. There is just, that's not a legal action I can take. And I don't think council can take that either. It's, you know, you've also proposed that we should fine her for the fecal matter that's around the area or for the expense. We can't do that. We can't lay that blame. I'm not sending police officers over there to survey the area and see who's responsible for a crime that's not even in our books. I can't do that. We are trying to solve the problem, not punish people. And hopefully the neighbors, including that person or other people, will want to participate in this. But if it's not important enough for them to help in this solution, then they'll have to solve it on their own. This is not a city function to control cats. There are no cat control ordinances in our books, and city council certainly looked at doing that in the past. So, anybody else on council like to speak before I recognize anybody out there?
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Hanem.
You know, I've spent more time thinking about this than I wanted to, particularly, this was the particular issue where Dr. Backus warned me when I came on council to stay away from cat issues. But, you know, as a lawyer, I think it's interesting, as I've looked at our code and thought about options for the code, I think it's a very difficult issue to address legislatively. If there is a nuisance here, there are legal mechanisms, private legal mechanisms that are available to pursue someone who's creating a nuisance. And that's something that, as a lawyer, I have a lot of respect for. But I understand the reluctance of people to engage a lawyer, retain them, and pursue that. But there are nuisance mechanisms that might very well be appropriate here. But I really don't think we can legislate not feeding animals. We've done a little reading on that, and while there are places that have tried it, it is invariably difficult to enforce, uneven in its enforcement, and creates oftentimes as many problems as not. And when you outlaw feeding a specific animal, then the issue becomes, well, what about birds and squirrels and other wildlife that are routinely fed by people who, and those birds and squirrels cause problems for other people as well. So well, early on, I had hoped to maybe find, after our last meeting, I went out and kind of looked at some things. I have come to the conclusion that the ability to legislate this away is not, is probably not something we want to pursue. And in terms of, but that there may be mechanisms in the law through civil actions to pursue a claim against a particular individual if the facts warrant it. And the problem here is that we're not really in a position to either review the facts and judge the facts. That's better done by a judge than by a legislative body.
Thank you, Mr. Hanem. Anybody? Mr. Lukey.
Yeah, I'm coming at this at a little bit of a disadvantage. I apologize. I was out of commission this last week while this was being discussed. I do have a couple of questions. I'm not sure I want to make the point that this is something I'm recommending at this point, but a question of Mr. Aller. I did have a chance to be lobbied by a number of Humane Ohio folks over the last 10 days, and one of the issues that I sort of discovered is that although the capture, spay, neuter, and release process is generally accepted, the exception seems to be with cats that are either sick or in some way harmed and damaged. And my understanding is that the state of the art at this point is that with the recommendation of a veterinarian, its potential is that those cats be euthanized. Did Mr. Aller find anything referencing that in his discussions with them?
They did discuss if they were sick or one of the options with the cats that are brought in are to be receive the rabies vaccination. But if the cat comes in that's found already have rabies or any other sickness that you know they deem it probably won't be successful if returned, that those particular cats could be euthanized while in.
That wasn't directly included in the administration's recommendation. Was that
That makes perfect sense to me, though. Whatever UMaine Ohio recommends is what we're recommending.
I guess we can have some further conversation about the fee later. I'm sure that there will be some debate about this as we move forward. I guess the third thing, as we even begin thinking about it, is that this is a, as Mr. Hannigan's exactly right, this is very controversial. And this is a recommendation that may have worked in other communities and maybe even in the township, but we're not sure if it's going to work in a residential neighborhood like this, I guess. So I would encourage us to think about this as being a pilot program that might be, at this point, piloted, tried in this neighborhood to see if it works, and then maybe bring it back to council at some future point to see if we actually want to make it our permanent policy. It just seems like it's new territory to us, and we shouldn't be making a big commitment around it until we see if it works. So those are my thoughts. Again, coming at it kind of cold, but...
They sound appropriate. This is not an issue we faced for 10 years or so. And Mr. Hannigan, it took council 13 months to come to the conclusion you just came to a few minutes ago, time around.
We had the benefit of Dr. Bacchus's work, so...
All right. Any other member of council wants to speak at this time? We'll discuss the fees or the breakdown of the fees later. This time, there's several people out here, I assume some of you might like to address council. And raise your hand, and I will recognize you in the red shirt. Please come on up to the podium. Please give us your name and address, and give us factual information. We appreciate your input.
Hi there. My name is Natalie Hefner. I live at 3641 Wood Spring Road in Huron, Sylvania. I am the person that headed up the project in Farmbrook. I am still an independent contractor for UMaine Ohio, so I do have a lot of experience in this area. I can tell you that I think that this TNR is probably the best approach to the free roaming cap problem.
Meaning trap and release. Is that TNR?
Yes, trap, neuter, return.
Okay.
I mean, the problem that a lot of people, you know, they come up with this notion that wholesale euthanasia is going to solve the problem. Just take these 20 cats and get out of here, crying out loud. But the bigger problem is that it is not 20 cats. Humane Society did a study a few years ago, and I mean, this is old, so I presume the numbers are down, but they estimated that in the Toledo area that there were 71,000 free roaming cats. So what the problem that comes about when you say, just take these 20 cats and get them out of here, is that it creates this little vacuum effect. Because what has happened with you know, in our ecosystem, we've taken out all the natural predators for birds, snakes, rodents, you know, things of that nature. The coyotes are gone. The foxes are not, you don't see them very often, at least not here in suburbia. And what the cats have come in, and that's a plentiful food source. The cats are here. And what tends to happen is that, you know, that their numbers will explode. Like in a case like this, like it happened in my neighborhood, there were upwards of 30 cats in my neighborhood. My neighbor and I, we kind of coordinated, and she did the trapping, I did the transportation, and she paid for it all out of pocket. We trapped about 23 cats between August and October. In 2012, we had a kitten population where we would see the kittens. The ones that I physically removed, I took out 17 kittens in my neighborhood. And this is like a 2 or 3 house span. This is not like, you know, spread out. This is a very localized area. This summer, we had 3. So that shows you that it does bring down those numbers immediately. It is not an immediate fix, like the cats are not just going to be gone. But the problem that you run into if you don't do a TNR type program is that if you just take out all the cats, you're going to be cat free for like maybe a year tops. What's going to happen is more cats are going to come in from that population of tens of thousands are going to come in, and they're going to repopulate, and you're going to be back to square one. You're going to have kittens coming out of your ears. And really what TNR does is, because cats are territorial by nature, if you return them to where they were, you will at least stabilize the population. You'll have the same number, the same cats there, and they will keep other newcomers from coming in. The occasional newcomer will come in, but that's where you kind of have to trap on an ongoing basis. You have to be sure that, you know, if you have any new coming individuals, that you're getting a trap out there, getting the cat, getting them spayed or neutered before releasing them back out. I think I would recommend, I know that there is issues with them spreading disease and things like that. There is the option when they're there at Humane Ohio to have them vaccinated or treated for different kinds of diseases. I also recommend trying to move the feeding stations gradually out of a residential area, because I know it does become a nuisance to the people who might feed them. But I don't think removing the food source is going to remove the cats. That's the other problem that I see with it. People think that if they just stop feeding them, the cats are just going to go away. They're not. They're used to being where they are. They might have a higher mortality rate, but they're going to be there hunting whatever small animals they can. So that's where I come from. I also want to say that I am very willing to work on this project in Sylvania. I'm very interested in seeing the population, the cat, free roaming cat population, stabilized in Sylvania Township and in the city of Sylvania. I don't think it's going to be, if I can work with Humane Ohio, I can do a more of a mass trap. I think I could really bring the cost down from $90 per cat. Actually, when he said that, I was like, oh my gosh, I hope it's not that expensive. And I have had some experience. There was one over the summer, I was working at Humane Ohio, and I led a team of people, and we did trap 25 cats in one day. So it is possible to do it all at one time, as long as it's a coordinated effort. The thing to come back to is that we all agree that there needs to be less cats. I don't know anybody on this planet that's like, yay, more kittens. But I do think that TNR is the best approach for it. The other thing that would concern me about, and I want to just put it out there, and I'm really glad that we're kind of in agreement that TNR is kind of the way to go, is I don't want the city of Sylvania to be brought into a bad light with animal welfare and animal rights advocates. I don't know if you remember when Wisconsin decided it was going, they were just, did open season on free roaming cats, but they caught a lot of bad, they got a lot of bad press over that, and I don't want to, I would hate for that to happen to the city of Sylvania as well. Furthermore, I keep in mind too, that with like a MAP euthanasia, that is also very costly. It's cheaper, I think, the cheapest place in town I know of to do euthanasia is $35. Through Humane Ohio, you can get a free roaming cat spayed for $25. Just, you know, in terms of at least a direct cost analysis. I think that's pretty much it that I have to say on that. I welcome any questions that you guys may have.
I certainly appreciate your experience and expertise. It sounds like you know what you're doing. We'll see if that's the way we're going to go. I hope it is, but we'll find out tonight.
All right. Thank you so much.
Natalie, I'm just confused. Are you employed by?
I was employed over the summer. I was the free roaming cat coordinator for a few months. It wasn't a really good fit for me and my family at the time. I have moved into, I'm an independent contractor at this point, so I'm not actively working with them right now.
But you have been working relationship
with Humane Ohio.
Yes, yeah. And I have access. I have the rights to drive the van, so I could come out with their van and with a multitude of traps in one or two times.
Thank you.
Thank you. The lady with her hand up. And come on up, give us your name and address, and share information with us.
Janice Pearson, 4615 Vicksburg. One thing we talked about that we haven't mentioned is like the health issue, the fact that the cats, if they're released, caught, released, spayed, neutered, what happens with the fact that they're using our yards as bathroom? That's going to continue. That won't go away. The smell, the damage they've caused, that won't go away. They've damaged some of my plants, my covers for my outdoor furniture. They're torn, ripped. I kind of feel like, in some respects, that the cats, The rights of the cats are outweighing the rights of the property owner. Because we're talking, when I came here last time, I said, we tried this already. Why is this going to be different this time? We tried it on our own. Why is it going to be different now? And how does this get rid of some of the other problems that we as property owners are talking about? The smell, the issues of that. If they are caught and released right back to our yards, that will continue. And we didn't originally have 20 cats. We originally had one or two. But by people feeding them, or that's how there's that many more. How is that going to stop? And I can tell you for a fact that as they're continuing to be fed, other cats are coming around. How does that stop? Those are some of my issues, because it's my yard, and we mow our grass. We step in all this cat stuff in our yard. My yard smells, my deck, under my deck, smells awful. And if I look up on the internet how to get rid of them, one of the things is, well, spray your yard with a spray. Once a week. What happens when it rains? What happens when it snows and they're still out there? Am I supposed to go out there once a week and spray my yard? I'm not causing the problem, but yet I'm paying the price of the problem. Those are some of my issues. And I know that my neighbors feel the same way. I know that I'm sick and tired of talking about this problem. I've tried to solve the problem myself. So I don't know what else to do. But the catch and release sounds great, but we've already tried it. We weren't successful, and it's not going to get rid of some of these other issues.
Could you elaborate a little bit on how you did the catch and release? Did you catch them and take them to Fulton County, or did you catch them and euthanize them? What was the process?
We caught some of them, found homes for them.
Okay.
We caught some and took them to Humane Ohio. But here's what some of our problem was. You couldn't bring them there. You had to bring them at 8:30 in the morning, Monday through Thursday. You had to tell them whether they had eaten that day or not. I have no idea. You had to come and pick them up a day or two later by 9 o'clock in the morning. I have a job. I don't have time to be doing this.
Did you take them there to be spayed?
Yes.
Okay.
And I went and picked them back up. In my car, in my vehicle, we rented the cages, we put the food in, we did everything. They smell, we put them in our cars smell. I had to go and drive to pick them up. We went to several vets to see if we get more cages and do a big swoop. We could only get like 4 cages. We had to rent the cages, so it was our money that we put out to rent the cages. We've already tried all this before we came to you.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
So, Janice, what you're saying is that the cats that you got adopted, then from your perspective, the same number or more came back.
Well, there was 2 cats that had like 6 kittens apiece like last April.
So this would take care of that, though. If the spaying and neutering should take care of a future population.
Well, if you catch them all. Only if you catch them all. And that, you know, that's part of the problem. We tried to catch, and we couldn't get them because they were already being fed, so we couldn't catch them. So, yeah, but you have to catch them all. There's one right now that's pregnant. I know, I've seen it. So I don't know if there's more, because I'm not watching them all the time. But they're in my yard all the time. They're on my deck. They're under my deck. And I'm not feeding them. But they're part of my problem because they're in my yard. In my yard, I don't know. I'm really frustrated with the whole issue. It's been going on. It's getting worse every year. So, that's where I'm at.
How long has this been a problem?
been going on, it's been getting to be a greater problem.
Yeah.
It's been going on for about 2 years, and it originally started with a few.
Right.
Like one or two.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I realized that it's no, you know, somebody started the problem by letting their cat go or not taking care of their own cat, and they let it go. And I realized that's nobody else's problem, but this is getting to be huge because they're getting fed and they're right in my yard all the time. Somebody started the original problem, but that doesn't mean that everybody needs to feed them so they continue to be there all of the time. And that's what happened. Somebody probably just let their pet go and wasn't responsible. And then that one got pregnant, had kittens, and it's evolving ever since.
I'm empathetic with your situation. I guess the question that's going through my head is, if there's 71,000 stray cats in this county, and somebody is feeding them, or the people that choose to feed them, and I'm sure your neighbor is not the only one. There's lots of people that do this. Ultimately, the only way it's going to be taken care of is it's going to take time with spaying and neutering, because that's a lot of cats. I'm shocked with that number, if that's an accurate number.
I don't know, but we already tried it. Didn't work for us.
Well, that's because there's 71,000 of
them. Well, 71,000 aren't in my backyard.
Oh, I think part of what...
And that's why I'm trying to make a dent in that 71,000 myself before it gets to be 50 in my backyard.
Right. I think part of what the administration's recommendation seems to be is to give this a full court press situation. I mean, clearly, if you're doing this as volunteers or victims or whatever, you're doing it as you can, right? I mean, you
right.
do work and so on. So I think part of what I hear Mr. Aller talking about is some sort of a consistent, aggressive campaign to get the cats rounded up and spayed and so on. So that's a difference, right? And I think it remains to be seen if it would be more effective. But clearly, I think what the administration is suggesting is something a little different than what you've been trying to do on your own. I guess I'd also be very interested. I have experience in our neighborhood. We had this 10 years ago. I didn't at the time appreciate Dr. Backus's approach. But, you know, some of the cats were really physically damaged. I mean, a second or third generation feral/stray cat is a pretty weird looking animal, you know. And so I think that and what animals that are injured by other animals, animals that are sick, probably, in my view, shouldn't be put back into the neighborhood, you know. And so potentially that's a difference in what you were having to deal with. But clearly everybody around here, probably if they were in your position, they'd feel the same way, right? So I think we just, part of this is not going to be a quick fix, but hopefully it'll be a consistent fix as we try to take some action.
I'm at the point now, is this going to happen for sure or not going to happen for sure?
That's yet to be determined. Council is going to make that decision to either decide tonight or they won't. I suspect they will.
Okay.
Administration's made a recommendation. They need to decide what level they're going to fund it at or not to do anything. That's a possibility as well. Sit tight. You'll know what the answer to that is shortly, I bet. Natalie, did you want to say something more?
I did. You want me to come up?
Sure. Please come back up. Then I'll recognize the others.
I do empathize with your situation. Like I said, nobody wants more cats. Nobody's out thinking we need more cats. They do cause damage. It is a problem. That's why one of the things I initially said is that we try to relocate, slowly, gradually move a feeding station away from a residential area, because they do tend to congregate near where they eat. If you can move them away, then they're not going to be right up on your neighbor's deck, scratching up your neighbor's stuff, pooping in their yard. The other, I actually did, and I would hope that if we, if there's a way to do that, that that would remove a lot of the damage to the plants, to the, you know, scratching up items in her yard, and also hopefully decrease, you know, the fecal matter and smell coming, you know, that's being deposited in your yard. I did have a question about the, on the previous TNR chain, if they, if she had a cooperation of caretakers, because that is one of the most critical steps. I've been pretty good luck convincing people to go along with the TNR program, because really the best way to have a successful TNR campaign, to trap a cat, you can only trap, like, the young and stupid, and the desperate cats. I can't make them young, and I can't make them stupid, but I can make them desperate if you take away their food. And if you can feed, withdraw food for up to 48 hours before you set a trap, you're much more likely to get a trap. You have to have the cooperation of caretakers in these cases. And the other thing I did want to point out, she mentioned rinsing the cages. I don't know if it's a policy change from how Humane Ohio worked in the past, but right now it's kind of a rental, but it's more like a safety deposit. Anybody off the street can come in and borrow a trap for a deposit of $60. That check or cash is not deposited or in any way touched. It stays with the file, the form, until the traps are returned in good order. So that shouldn't be an additional cost. It's just, but the safety deposit is just in the case that a trap gets destroyed or lost or stolen, just because they are very expensive. Those are the two things I wanted to point out.
Thank you. Other hands? Okay.
Okay, my name is John Pearson. I live with Janice at 4615 Vicksburg. I hear about this plenty from both her and my next neighbor lady. Mr. Mayor, you live on the same street. You live on the other end. I get the impression that you really think this is not a real issue.
No, that's not true at all. I think it is an issue, and that's why I, wait a minute.
Yes.
Don't put words in my mouth. I do think it's an issue. That's why I'm back with a recommendation to handle it. If I didn't think it was an issue, we wouldn't be talking about it right now. So don't put words in my mouth.
I want you to believe when you make your vote tonight that Woodland County Buffet that feeds these cats like you wouldn't believe. When you mow your lawn, visualize you stepping in this nice, ripe stuff. Because when you do, it smells wonderful.
I think we're all familiar
okay.
with that.
Yeah.
But this is not the okay. only place in town that has a problem
no,
with
but,
any kind of animal droppings.
But you've got
I don't
understand
why you think you're so
you've
special
got,
in that regard.
Okay, but I got the feel that you're not so special either. Okay? This is a big problem. You cannot trap these cats if someone does not stop.
We have visited the person who is feeding them. We've asked for cooperation. We're told that more than one person in the neighborhood's feeding them. We're asking for cooperation.
I'd like to know
we
who
have
else
done
is
that.
Feeding them
we have done that since you were here a few weeks ago.
Here. I don't think anybody else is feeding.
I don't know that. Yeah. We're trying to find out.
Okay. Well.
And the lady that's from Humane Ohio that wants to help solve the problem has just said she needs that cooperation as well.
I understand.
She may be able to determine who's
like
doing it and talk to them as well.
We haven't got. Okay. You've been told by one person that other people are feeding them. Anyone can say anything.
You're exactly right.
Trust me, nobody else in this room is feeding them. When we were told we were getting cooperation before, they were well fed. Very hard to trap when they aren't hungry. Very hard to trap.
We heard that tonight from the expert.
Well, but do keep in mind that if this problem isn't helped somehow, it will be helped in other ways, and I hope you go aggressively after the people that have to take care of their own problem as well as you're doing this one so far. So, I mean, we're pushed. It's been 2 years.
I'm not sure what you're threatening, sir.
I'm not threatening
These are stray
I'm
cats.
Saying,
Wait a minute, these are stray cats, you can trap them if you want to. I'm doing what the city is allowed to do.
Okay, I understand, but I just got the impression with your little words that you said were not words, and I'm not putting them in your mouth, I'm just saying, keep us in mind if this was your lawn.
We have a member of council who's had the same problem.
I understand.
That also came into my neighborhood on the, I live right across the park from him. I am familiar with this problem.
Okay, well, I just, okay, maybe you are more than I expect, but it just didn't come out that way. Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of council. My name is Bonnie Wheeler. I'm the bad guy in this. I live at 4626 Woodland Lane and have lived there for 23 years. I would appreciate it if I could read a statement without interruption tonight. First of all, I would like to state for the record, I do not own any cats. I did own an indoor cat. He died back in April. Okay. What started as a collaborative effort back in spring of 2011 to deal with stray cats in our area has since degenerated into a personal vendetta against myself and into a neighborhood uproar. In early 2011, a pregnant female cat appeared in the Vicksburg Woodland area. This cat delivered 6 kittens under my neighborhood Sheila Albert's deck. Working with Humane Ohio at the time, Sheila and I managed to trap and have neutered at our own expense all 6 kittens. We were unable to catch Mama Cat, and in repeated attempts, we just could not get her. 4 of our neighbors continually allow their male, unneutered cats to roam the neighborhood. These have since become new daddy cats. Francie Kemmerer, who's in the audience tonight, and another neighbor of ours, helped Sheila and myself to attempt to catch the second litter of kittens. Francie borrowed a trap from the Sylvania vet. Unfortunately, Mama Cat was too smart to go into it. We did manage to catch a couple of the kittens. We had 1 neutered and a couple given away. We could not get all of them again. This spring, another cat showed up I had never seen before, pregnant, and once again, original Mama Kitty was pregnant by a neighbor's cat. Both had litters of kittens. Over the past 2.5 years since this began, I have repeatedly contacted various Sylvania municipal offices seeking help on this issue, only to be told there is no help available. Please feel free to check my phone records. You will find all the calls. I have asked numerous times again city departments about putting some food out for the cats to keep them from eating all of the wildlife, and have been told after each inquiry it is perfectly legal for me to do so. Francie Kemmerer asked me if I would consider putting more food out for the cats because of her concern over them eating the little bunnies, which I did to appease Francie Kemmerer. In fact, last week, Mr. Kevin Aller told me that I am still allowed to put some food out to keep feeding these cats. In my way of thinking, a healthy stray cat is much more adoptable than a cat that becomes feral and vicious and diseased. In August, Janice Pearson and Francie Kemmerer appeared at my door and demanded to talk about the cats. I found Ms. Pearson's demeanor to be rude, aggressive, abrasive, and demanding. Ms. Pearson stated she was going to take responsibility in dealing with the strays. She stated she would transport the cats to Humane Ohio for neutering and would attempt to attain reduced price vouchers and plan to pet food. I offered to contact Humane Ohio, whom I had worked with in the past, about borrowing their trap cages and said I would help catch the cats. No cages were available due to a large-scale trapping initiative occurring in the city of Toledo. Ms. Pearson did obtain the vouchers, reducing the neutering price from $25 per cat to $5 per cat. Ms. Pearson and Francie obtained 3 traps. I do not know where they came from, and I agreed to help trap the cats. Ms. Pearson and Francie were both at my home twice, and both times I pointed out the already neutered cats who were there, and pointed out an unneutered cat that I wanted to keep as a pet. It's a very large cat, and if anyone has seen the Ernest Hemingway cats down in the Florida Keys, they are beautiful animals. They are large. They have the big paws that look like they're wearing boots all the time, very angular faces. Ms. Pearson and Francie both assured me they had no problem with me keeping a cat, knowing full well that my daughter-in-law has asthma. The cat that I did have, that just passed away in April, was hers. My husband and I adopted it so that she could still keep the cat somewhere where her and my grandson could see it. I cannot have an indoor cat because of this. I have been told there is no law that says I cannot have an outdoor cat as a pet. Okay, they assured me that the cats were just going to go to Humane Ohio and be neutered. When they brought the traps, I personally set the traps up and caught 2 black males almost immediately. I called Mrs. Pearson, and she took the caged animals away. Next, I trapped 2 small gray kittens. Again, called Mrs. Pearson, and she took those kittens away. She told me that a man working at her home adopted them on the spot. I don't know this. I did not reset the traps over that weekend because Humane Ohio was closed. The next Monday morning, I again set the traps, and 2 cats walked into them. One was the very large Hemingway-type cat I had told both of them that I wanted to keep. Knowing he was going to Humane Ohio to be neutered, I left him in the cage. I called Miss Pearson to collect the 2 cats, and again said, "This is Pete," and I gave her $20 to pay for the first 4 cats to be neutered, including Pete. I reached down and touched the cat and said, "Pete, I'll see you in a couple of days. Trap, neuter, bring them back." That's the last time I saw my cat. 2 days later, I saw a woman trespassing in my backyard. I approached her and asked who she was and what she was doing on my property. I'd never seen her before and had no idea who she was. She would not tell me her name, but she did say she was there to check on the traps and cats for Janice. Conversation-wise, I said I was waiting for Ms. Pearson to bring back Pete and the other cats so that I could take care of Pete. That woman actually laughed at me, and I quote said, "That was never the plan." She continued laughing at me and shaking her head no as she went across my neighbor Sheila Albert's property and cut through a gate and fence into Ms. Cummerow's property. I immediately telephoned Mrs. Cummerow and Mrs. Pearson and left a message reminding them that Pete was supposed to come back to me. Francie returned my call telling me she didn't take Pete anywhere. She actually apologized, and she said Mrs. Pearson handled it all. When Mrs. Pearson finally did return my call later that evening, she said, and I quote, "Pete's gone and I'm not bringing that cat back." She then began yelling at me over the phone about animals, and at that point I was so upset and in tears I hung up. I then immediately made it known that Ms. Pearson was to stay off my property and they were not allowed to trap on my property again. I made numerous calls to Humane Ohio, the Humane Society, and Paws and Whiskers Cat Shelter throughout that week trying to find Pete. All 3 organizations told me they had no record of Pete or animals delivered by Ms. Pearson. Ms. Pearson never told me the animals were going anywhere except to Humane Ohio. I thought Pete was coming back. Pete would never have been in that cage otherwise. I would like to address the comments made by Ms. Pearson at the September 16th council meeting. I listened to the audio version like 20 times. Ms. Pearson stated, and I quote, "We took her cat and she got mad and refused to help after that." True. She took Pete, I got mad, as anyone would, and refused to help after that. Ms. Pearson stated and implied that I am the only one who feeds these cats. false. I know of three neighbors who I don't want to rat out and have them go stampeding over their house, who also feed these cats. They've also given them toys, which I find in my yard. Ms. Pearson stated that I picked and chose which cats went into the cages. False. Out of all of the strays, and right now I count 13, not 20 or whatever, I can touch only three. I could bet Pete that he's gone. The other two are the two that originally had neutered that I paid for. The cats that went into the cages walked into those cages on their own. I could not touch them when they were in the cages. Ms. Pearson stated that I maimed all the cats. False. Humane Ohio requires when you neuter a cat, give it a name. The cats that have names are the ones that were neutered. The reason they do this is so that when they neuter the cat and return it, proper documentation stays with the animal so that it doesn't get mixed up. A diseased cat does not be released, it should not be, etc. Of the ones that left, I don't know, everyone calls the original mother cat Mama Kitty. The neighbors start calling her Mama Kitty, I guess that's her name. I don't know if the neighbors have named any other ones, I am not aware of it. Ms. Pearson further stated they were unable to catch any cats after I stopped helping. False. In fact, Ms. Pearson placed cages in Sheila Albert's backyard. I don't know that she ever asked for or was granted permission to do this. On a very hot and humid day, an orange and white cat walked into one of those cages. Ms. Albert was away for most of the day, but when she got home, and she told me this herself, she immediately called Ms. Pearson's house to notify her of the captured cat. Sheila ended up speaking with Ms. Pearson's husband and was assured that she would get a call back. After a good deal of time passed, Sheila could not stand watching this cat suffer, so she would not release the cat herself. And she told me it was because it was suffering in the heat and high humidity with no water and no room in the cage to even turn around. Ms. Pearson claims that the stray cats are in her yard, flowers, and under her deck. Granted, they are. They are everywhere. But has Ms. Pearson attempted to trap any of these cats on her own property? I've not seen that occur. As I repeatedly stated, I do not own these cats. Multiple neighbors have contributed in creating this problem. In addition to stray cats, we also have large number of raccoons, possums, and woodchucks prowling at night, leaving their feces behind. I have allergies to oak, cottonwood, and other trees, as well as cut grass and some flowers. I rarely spend much time outside. Ms. Pearson, at the last council meeting, displayed photographs that she captured of me giving food to these animals. I do not feed these cats at a specific time. I feed them when I feel like it. Ms. Pearson was literally stalking me and spying on me in order to take a photograph of me. The Savannah Police Department has told me to contact them immediately if I'm harassed again by Janice Pearson or any of their other neighbors in such a manner. Since the day I refused to assist Ms. Pearson any farther in this endeavor and told her to stay off of my property, I have been stalked, harassed, threatened, yelled at, spied upon, ruthlessly had Pete the cat virtually stolen from me, had money scammed from me, being led to believe it was going to neuter cats, and I have no idea where that went. My property has been trespassed upon repeatedly. My privacy has been invaded, and my good name and character defamed at a public meeting, to wit, last month's city council meeting. I have lived in my home for 23 years, and now I no longer feel safe when my husband travels for business. I am being forced into the expense of installing outdoor security cameras, and I have spoken with the prosecutor's office and was advised to file police reports, which I have done. I have been advised that both civil and criminal infractions against me have occurred. I have not yet decided on a course of action, but I am always amenable to hearing any city-sponsored solution. I am always available and have been to humanely alleviate the stray cat problem. Mr. Aller has my telephone number, and once again, I am more than willing to assist in the neutering of these animals. If they would not have stolen Pete the cat, or would have went and made the effort to bring him back, I would have continued to help trap all these cats, and by now they would have been trapped and neutered. And I thank you so much for allowing me to speak tonight.
All right, we appreciate your comments. That was a long statement, 15 minutes, but you did not repeat yourself during it, so I let you go. I want to clarify something with you.
Yes, sir.
You said, you just said at the end of your talk that you would assist in the trapping of these animals. Does that include stopping feeding them for the 48 hours or so in advance?
I did that.
Will you do it again?
I will if I am told.
In cooperation with that young lady right out there?
I will work with the city. I will work with Humane Ohio.
Will you,
I will not work with these neighbors who are...
Will you also work with the other neighbors you're aware of that might be feeding the cats and ask them not to feed them as well?
I have determined it is in my best interest to not know who these people are who are also feeding these animals in order to keep them from being subjected to the things I have been.
How do you know they're doing it if you don't know who they are? I don't understand.
I know who they are, but I would rather not involve
them.
Well,
we're going to need to somehow get their cooperation in order to effectively trap the cats. Do anything you can to help out.
And as a matter of fact, I will not help those people.
I understand.
Okay.
But I'm asking you to help this city and that representative.
I will help this city. I will help. If Mr. Aller calls me and says, hey, Bonnie, can we put traps in your yard tomorrow? Yes, Mr. Aller, you may do that. Yes, Humane Ohio may do that. No one else.
Yeah, just a follow-up question, Mr. Mayor. I understand and I appreciate your willingness to cooperate with the trapping by not feeding the cats. One of the things, though, that Natalie said was that a part of a permanent solution is to move the feeding stations further away from the residents. Would you personally be willing to cooperate with that?
Yes, and as a fact, Mr. Luque, I do have two of these animals going to be adopted out later this week.
I appreciate that, but that's not what I'm asking. What I'm saying is that if we found an empty space that was a block and a half away from your house, and you were confident that those cats were being fed there as opposed to in your neighborhood, you'd stop feeding them.
Of course. Okay. I need to be willing to drive over there and feed them.
And
these are beautiful animals. They are not diseased. They are not harmed. They are very healthy animals.
Yeah, and I appreciate that because we may actually take you up on that at some point. So
I am more than willing.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Miller.
Beg your pardon?
I wonder if we have any other.
Mr. Miller, you wanted to ask the question here.
Well, no. No, I guess I want to make a motion, so I'll have to wait to see if there's more.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for listening.
Others that would like to speak, come on up.
My name is Frances Camerote. I live at 4607 Vicksburg Drive, and I have been there for 38 years, my husband and I. We purposely bought that house because of the trees, and our yard is the backyard is half natural with wood chipping around it. Mrs. Pearson's yard is about a fourth natural. Since these cats have arrived, I think they are a health issue. They are using our property as their litter box. In the last year, I have filled a brown Sauter's shopping bag only in the front of my house where my bushes are in a person. Brown is very sandy, completely full, and that is only in the front of my house. The backyard, but you can imagine with 20 cats, it's their territory. They're using it as a litter box. It's gotten to the point that I am afraid to go out. Not afraid. I don't go out there to garden very much. Even if I were to bend down to pull a weed nowadays, I have to make sure I come into the house and wash my hands thoroughly. I do not want to have toxoplasmosis. So I think even if they are neutered and they are brought back, that's their territory. They're going to stay in our places. They're going to use my yard as a litter box. Please think about that. It's a health issue. The cats are beautiful. They're, you know, this Wheeler is feeding them fine, but 20 cats or even 15 cats, and there are female cats now from these litters. They're only going to multiply more. That's where the issue is. So think about the health issue for us. I'm also a taxpayer.
Thank you for your comments. Anybody else?
Hi. First of all, I want to apologize for being late. I work today. my name is Jocelyn. I live at 4610 Woodland Lane, Pennsylvania. So just a couple houses down.
Excuse me, I didn't catch your last name.
Oh, Obligiak, O-B-L-I-D-A-J-E-K. I think a big concern, and maybe somebody brought it up already, is the property values and the ability to be able to sell a house. When I walk up to my house every day and open my window in the morning, it smells like cat pee because the cats just pee around my property. And there's just no way if I tried to sell my house at any point in time that anybody would ever want to buy it. So I think that's a serious concern for the city of Sylvania and for all of us as property owners. So that's all I wanted to share. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
Come on back up. You're the only one with a hand up.
The last comment did remind me of one thing I didn't mention earlier that I did want to point out that some of you may or may not know is that a lot of the negative behaviors that cats display, that's probably not urine, it's urine, but it's cat spray. They do that as a territorial thing. Males tend to spray a lot less when they've been neutered just because they're not out there trying to fight and establish themselves, especially if they are neutered at a very young age. And Humane Ohio is able to spay or neuter any cat as long as they are 8 weeks old and 2 pounds. And they do recommend pediatric spay neuter. So we can take them really young and hopefully nip that in the bud before they even start doing that. The other thing, negative behavior that can cut down on is the yowling that females do when they're in heat. And that's also another property value thing. If you're trying to show your house that, you know, when there's a cat out there, it's not going to be really good. I just wanted to point that out as another benefit of spay neuter.
I have another question for you.
Sure.
We've listened to the discussion, and you've made the comment that it's best to bring them back and release these, but does Humane Ohio make any effort to adopt the cats out or find another solution for them? Mr. Lupke's already said that injured cats should not be released again, but can you tell us if there are other options?
Absolutely. We do work, Humane Ohio works closely with area rescue organizations. We try to get any adoptable cat or kitten off the street. The problem is that most rescue groups and agencies are completely packed full. They would love to take the cats if they had space. I currently have two in my basement that I can't keep because my husband and son are both very allergic, and so they're kind of quarantined in my basement. I just didn't have the heart to release them. I have worked with Planned Pethood. I have worked with Lenawee Humane Society. I've worked with them, and I would do if any time that there is an adoptable cat, I would love to see that cat into a home rather than being re-released. I do think the best home for a cat that is socialized to humans is in a home. It's the problem where the ones that just absolutely have to be released are the ones that are totally feral. They're completely unsocialized. And those are they have to be released outside somewhere.
Thank you. All right, Council. I think you've got an understanding of the situation. If you have any questions for Mr. Aller about the options, or Mr. Miller.
As I listen to this, it's obvious that it's a serious problem. I'm concerned on several levels, particularly when I hear the 71,000 number. It seems to me that education is going to be the best thing long-term that's going to take care of this. And I'm also concerned about the budget restraints that we're facing here in the city. However, having said that, I would like to propose, and I'll make this in the form of a motion, that we try a pilot program committing $1,500 to this pilot program to see if we can't help with this problem in this neighborhood.
It's your motion for the city to pay 100% of the cost up to $1,500. I think that's what you said.
Yeah, that is the motion. Strictly just a pilot program, just to see, and then to reevaluate this program and look at its results afterwards.
Natalie, back to you. You will provide us with some statistical results, how many cats you catch, how many you might not return, how many are released, all that sort of
thing. Absolutely, keep any records.
To be a pilot program, as Mr. Yes. As he is describing, Mr. Miller, will need that information. Okay. Okay, there's a motion for that. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Further discussion?
Yeah.
Mr. Hanum.
Yeah, I'm just, can Natalie and Kevin talk this through?
Have we?
Yes.
No, I have not.
Okay.
Spoken
with Well, right. I guess what I would, I think we're fortunate Natalie showed up here. I don't know how that happened, but I'm glad you're here. Well, okay. Then, because I don't think we have the expertise on our staff to implement a pilot program. I would, is the plan, I guess the plan would be to work with Natalie and try and put this together. Is that the idea? Is that what you're thinking? Yeah.
Doug, when I say pilot program, I'm saying that as much as cost when I'm saying pilot, because again, if there's 71,000 cats roaming this county, this problem is not going to go away. So that's why I'm saying that based upon the budget restraints that this city is facing.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, I mean, I think the way we're going to, are you think, and I'm not trying to put handcuffs on you here. I mean, is the current thinking that we work with Natalie and Humane Ohio?
If you want, you can amend Mr. Miller's motion to say up to $1,500 with Humane Ohio.
I'd be perfectly happy to leave it in your hands to figure out how to do this. I'm just curious what
you know. If I could, before I say what I'm going to say, I need to ask our expert here another question. Is there a seasonal aspect to capturing these cats and spaying to them? Are we running out of time because summer is over, or is it just as effective to capture cats and trap them in the winter? Did she need to come up?
Yeah, come on back.
That way we can hear her.
Because I think that an element here, I'm very sympathetic to the situation in the neighborhood. If we're going to lose a year by not moving this thing forward, great. I guess my preference would be to take another 2 weeks and make sure that we all are on the same page with it. But
I would say the only thing I will say is that there was mention of a pregnant cat. What I will put out there that Humane Ohio does, when they have a pregnant cat come in, they will continue with the spay surgery. It does terminate the pregnancy. So in that way.
Okay, but with the exception of that.
No, you can trap year round. It does make it a little bit harder. I mean, if you're slipping through snow, but no, you can trap.
But it doesn't affect the cats.
No.
The cats are still there doing their thing.
Right.
Right. Okay. There's a lot of discussion here. Thanks. That's all I have. There's a lot of discussion here, Mr. Mayor, about how we're going to execute
how
this.
How long do you think this would take?
20 cats?
15 to 20 cats.
15 to 20 cats? In my experience, if with full cooperation from all the neighbors, and what I would do is go ahead and pamphlet first or do door hangers and let everybody know in the neighborhood. Just talk specifically to people who do feed them, but pamphlet everyone else. Withdraw all food sources, get your garbage up, get everything up for, you know, these 2 days. I would say if we could probably get about, I think it is going to be like a two-trap session kind of job. Like I said, it took us, me and my neighbor, it was just the two of us with one or two traps at a time between August and October, and we basically got the entire population. But if I had multiple traps, to me, I worked on colonies that were in the 50s, you know, closer to 50, 60, 100 cats at, you know, within a two or three house span. This kind of looks small to me. I really think if I could launch a full-scale comprehensive plan, it would probably be within a couple of weeks. Could get most of them.
Thank you.
Okay, and I was going to suggest we do it in committee, but I think if we can move ahead, Mr. Miller's point is...
These neighbors have been waiting for a while.
Yeah,
I think we should move ahead.
Yep. Yeah, I'm work out the details, right?
Yeah, I'm comfortable appropriating $1,500 and allowing the service director, under the mayor's direction, to work out the details.
And you know what, Mr. Mayor, if they come back in 2 weeks and say it's yes, working beyond our wildest expectations, but we need another $1,500, I think we should be prepared to reconsider that as well.
Understood. I think what Mr. Miller do is he took 15 or 20 cats times $80 or $75.
Well, I think we can get a discount.
And she might do it for less. So
but again, I must stress that the budget constraints of the city... that if we have other neighborhoods come forward in our 6 square miles, that this issue does not mean that we're going to be able to do this long term. So I'm sympathetic and empathetic to the situation in this neighborhood. However, this does not mean that we can do this forever. That's why I think it's worth trying a pilot program, see how it works, and keep looking at creative ways to solve the problems.
And see if we can't knock the cost down per cat.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
All right.
I'd like to make one comment.
Mr. Brown.
This will not work unless the neighbors in the community bury their hatchets and work together. This kind of reminds me of what's going on in Washington right now, where both sides are digging in their heels and they won't cooperate and work together. I think it's in your best interest to cooperate with your neighbors, try to resolve this problem. I know that the cats will come back, but I will tell you, a wild cat's life cycle is not like a house cat. Once the cat is neutered or spayed and it goes back into the community, its life cycle is probably going to be less than a year and a half. It might be a little bit more, but outside cats do not live like inside cats. They don't live 12, 13, 14, 15 years. But I would welcome you to try to resolve your distances. You know, bury the hatchets and try to help us resolve this problem in your neighborhood. Because I don't think, based on what I've heard tonight, there's a lot of misinformation going around, probably on both sides, but you need to cooperate so we can help you solve this problem. You know, I know it's been going on for a couple of years, but you know, please try to cooperate with your other neighbors and resolve this problem.
That's all I have to say. Mr. Mayor, can we call a question?
All right, there's a motion on the floor to commit up to $1,500 by a pilot program in this neighborhood working with Humane Ohio. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Natalie, the service director will be in touch with you tomorrow and try to work out the details of this relationship. We very much appreciate you bringing your expertise. So you're already working with one neighbor. Thank you very much. Thank you all for attending. This council will now move on to agenda item 7. Agenda item 7 is a liquor permit request. It is from AMW Brothers, doing business at Sylvania Diner. And this appears to be a new liquor permit. Your agenda says from, it says to, and I think it's from the state of Ohio to these people, and it is to maintain in operation up to, I believe it was 1 o'clock at night. Chief, do you have any comments on this one?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As the police department always conducts a reference check on all the parties involved at the location of this request, is our opinion that we have no objections to the issuing of this permit. We have not had any problems with the location, nor the parties affiliated with this request.
All right. Mr. Good, there'd be a motion not to request a local hearing on this. Mrs. Westfall?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that no hearing be requested on this liquor permit for a D1 beer on premises conception of AMW Brothers doing business at Sylvania Diner.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded not to request a public hearing for this liquor permit request. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Moving on to agenda item 8. There is now items 8A through 8E. The first one on the top of your list is Ordinance 24-2013, not 70. This is the original ordinance we were working with. This one has been to the Plan Commission through a public hearing, has been modified and brought back. To pass this tonight, you would have to reconvene the public hearing and continue. However, it's my recommendation that you bundle all of these five ordinances, four or five, if you decide to do the fifth one together, send the new ones back to the Plan Commission. You could return this original one if you want. My request is that you set a public hearing date, which you must do for these new public, or for these four or new ordinances. And I would like to recommend that we authorize the clerk to advertise a public hearing on Monday, November the 18th. I believe that'll give her enough time to get the 30-day notice in the paper. That would allow us to do this, these ordinances, by the end of November instead of going into the December period. This is really up to your committee, Mr. Hanum, what you'd like to do. But I think that's a rational, logical way to do it.
I would like to move that we refer Ordinance 24-2013 back to the Planning Commission for their consideration, along with Ordinance Numbers 72-2013, 73-2013, 74-2013, and 78-2013 for their review and recommendation. That would be my first motion, and then I'll make a motion to set a public hearing on all of those.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved to refer to the Plan Commission before new ordinances and re-refer the original ordinance to the Planning Commission for their review and recommendation. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The Planning Commission meets a week from Wednesday, on Wednesday, October the 16th. So there will be a recommendation, assuming they are able to take action on it, on 2 weeks from tonight, on the 21st. If they can't, they will be back that first meeting in November, on November the 4th. They just need to be back by your public hearing, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. And Mr. Mayor, I would then move that we establish a public hearing on all five ordinances for Monday, November 18th at 7 o'clock in advance of our meeting that evening.
Your second for that?
Second.
And moved and seconded to set a public hearing at 7 p.m. on Monday, November the 18th. For all five of these zoning ordinances, all in favor of that, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and the clerk is directed to make public notice of that public hearing. Thank you. And now, moving to agenda number 9. This has to do with the Brinton McCord intersection improvements. Mr. Aller, why don't you tell us what's in your engineering report?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. When the project was initially undertaken, as you all know, Lord's University had submitted a plan development of what they planned to do with their athletic facility. on the property on the north side of the court at this intersection. From the time that the project was undertaken, and in looking at the timing that, that Lord's had put in place as to the construction of the athletic facility, which would have necessitated that drive on the north side, we had made the decision to proceed under the initial approach that that would be a three-way intersection, if you will, and then accommodate the fourth way at the time that Lord's University came in. Lord's schedule has been modified somewhat. The full construction of that site is still off into the future, but they do plan to construct the sidewalk and some of the features on that piece of property that would accommodate the foot traffic from the Lord's Commons area onto campus. That being the case, we believe it would be prudent to go ahead and do the four-lane project at this time, and that will require some additional design work from what we initially contemplated. So we are asking for an additional $5,000 for engineering costs so that we can get that intersection set up for in time for the next school year at Lawrence University.
I believe all of you have had an opportunity to meet with Lord's President Livingston and discuss his long-term plans for the development of their mid-campus expansion. Mr. Aller and I did have another meeting last Thursday where we met with President Livingston, Vice President Arquette, and Mike Killian, the Director of Facilities, to discuss a couple of projects. One was their schedule for building a sidewalk north on the old Sylvania School Bus property, and they were quite anxious that the city proceed with this intersection improvements. They are concerned for the safety of their students. They want to be able to have those students walking across that old bus school bus property next year. Mr. Aller informs me that we should be able to meet that schedule. We need to make this change in the engineering contract so we can proceed with it tonight. In addition to that, they wanted to talk to us about a crosswalk project on Convent, which will allow the students to cross from north of the old school bus property over to the main campus. If you can picture their main campus parking lot, right in the middle of the parking lot, there is a wide concrete sidewalk, curved sidewalk in the middle of the parking lot. This new crosswalk will be aligned with that. It's kind of centered between their two entrance driveways in front of the Franciscan Center. Mr. Aller and I reviewed the plans. We didn't make any commitments on that. What they would like, what they ask us to do is, can they, at their expense, not the city's, cut out the asphalt and install a new brick paver, or we recommended a stamped concrete or asphalt raised crosswalk. If you've been down Indian Road at Ottawa Hills Elementary School, they have a more raised than an inch or two, but they want to have a noticeable crosswalk that their students can safely walk across. I don't know, Kevin, were they going to try to do that yet this fall? I think that's next spring as well.
I believe that.
Next spring as well. All this fits together, and then his plan, as I think he discussed with you, is then to continue fundraising for their new athletic facility on that property and get that constructed in the next 2 years or so. This is step one. I am also concerned for the student safety. Last year, as I drove to work every morning, I had Lord students darting across Brent Road in front of my car and in front of all the cars on Brent Road in rush hour. We did install a temporary crosswalk at the south end of Allen Street to help with that. Unfortunately, the kids aren't really using that much. They dart across wherever they want because there's no pedestrian lights there. The new intersection will have pedestrian lights, and because of the shorter walk that they're going to have going across the bus property as opposed to up Allen Street and then west along Convent, I think most of the student population will go that way, and I think we'll be in a safer situation to cross them at the traffic light. So it's my recommendation to accept the service director's engineering service $5,000 expansion that he's recommending here. And Kevin, what's your estimate for this project?
believe this project is $157,000.
We will be back to you either later this year or early next year.
Likely early next year.
To go out to bid and to get this project ready to go in the spring. It does not affect curbs and paving. It is poles and arms, traffic lights and controller, and pedestrian lights. I remember when we made this a three-way stop instead of a two-way stop, I got a lot of nasty letters at that time saying it was a mistake. Actually, that intersection flows pretty well. But with pedestrians crossing, you don't have a chance in the morning to cross Sprint Road during the rush hour. This is a safety issue, and I think this is the right thing to do. So I am looking for a motion. Mr. Milner?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 75-2013. All members of council previously receiving copies, I'll read by title only, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to approve the amendment to the city's agreement with DGL Consulting Engineers, LLC, to reflect the additional time required due to a change in scope of the Brent and McCord Intersection Improvement Project, increasing the proposal amount by $5,000, appropriating funds therefore, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 75-2013 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage. Ordinance number 75-2013.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 75-2013 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 75-2013 is approved. Moving to agenda item 10, this is also an intersection item, but it's not the same intersection. This one is referring to the Brent and King Roundabout Project, a joint project with Lucas County. Mr. Aller, if you could describe what we're looking for here, or Mr. Moe.
Either way. As council will recall, at the last council meeting, we requested and obtained a resolution by city council to begin the two-step process of proceeding to acquire additional right-of-way around the Brent and King roundabout. Council charged us with city administration to reach out and try to work with the property owner, and that will be a continuing ongoing basis. The property owner has been really unavailable to sit and meet given some health issues at this time. However, we've met with the appraisers from the county. We've reviewed their process, and we're comfortable that we have reached out and made a bona fide effort to try to resolve this matter, tendered the money, and we're at the stage where we've reached an impasse, we can't move forward. So it's important for us at this time to authorize the filing of the litigation to complete the quick take procedures. This is simply for vacant land, does not involve any structures. The issue of compensation will continue on beyond the filing of the action, but we need council's action tonight. They are ready to move forward on the roundabout, and this property is in appropriate time to acquire it.
Discussion? Mr. Miller, I need a motion for this.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 76-2013. All members of council previously receiving copies, I'll read by title only. An ordinance appropriating the fee simple title to the city of Sylvania in and to certain real estate for the construction of a roundabout at the Brent and King roundabout, appropriating and authorizing the expenditure of $23,750 for such purpose, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
The moved and seconded in ordinance number 76-2013 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage. Ordinance number 76-2013.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 76-2013 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 76-2013 is approved. The county will be happy to hear that we are proceeding with this. However, we will keep council informed of any actions to resolve this issue for the actual final purchase price as determined by the court. Mr. Moan, is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Very good. We'll turn to page 2 of the agenda now. In your council package, you have proposed ordinance 77-2013. It's a long title to this one. It's actually not all listed on your agenda, so I refer you to the ordinance. However, in preference to this, I am now distributing a letter around. I have received from Jim Moan, our law director, who has been law director of this city for 17 years. When Jim started, he told me that he would give the city 10 years. We've had so much fun, he stayed longer. But it is time to give him a break, and he has now announced his retirement. We will thank you appropriately at the end of the year. Until then, I expect you to labor hard. With that being said, the city administration has reviewed options for a new law director. And based on the recommendation of our finance director and personnel director, Toby Schroyer, it is strongly recommended to confirm with state law that we bring this law director position in-house full-time. That has not been the case in Sylvania since the beginning. There have only been two law directors here in the city of Sylvania, Carl Dorcas and Jim Moan. However, they will be the last of their kind working as outside consultants. We will now have a full-time in-house law director beginning January 1st. Without that, we would have to be paying Ohio Public Employee Retirement payments on their full payment, which is escalated by the fact that we're not just paying salary, we're paying expenses for facilities and support work outside of the city. It is far better to bring it in-house. In effect, the state is pursuing these to make sure everybody conforms with those rules. The city of Sylvania will see a reduction in the cost of the legal department by doing this, and I strongly recommend it. The piece of legislation you have in front of you, Ordinance 77-2013, does two things. It establishes a temporary position of assistant director of law for the month of December to allow a new law director designate to come onto the city payroll and have a 30-day overlap with the current law director and begin work as an in-house employee. This is typical of what we do with other director-level jobs in the city of Sylvania. We like to have an overlap. We've done that with the service director, the finance director, almost every office, and I am recommending that. That's the first thing that this ordinance does. And the second part is we need to set an annual salary for both that assistant law director and then for the law director coming in-house full-time. And those two numbers are the same. They are $90,000 annually, and they are down at the bottom of that ordinance title. This ordinance will allow us to bring a new law director on as assistant law director December 1st, and if everything works out, which I anticipate it would, advance that person to be the new law director of the city of Sylvania. Toby, have I explained that adequately?
The only thing I have is, Mr. Mayor, is that assistant and law director position will expire.
We've done that in the other ones. It's a temporary assistant law director position. We may look at establishing that office again in the future or a similar office, but this particular one, as described at this salary, will terminate at the end of the year. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, questions? You want to talk about how you arrived at the number?
Yes. We took a look first at other municipal law directors. Maumee has come in-house. Other ones around the area have come in-house. And we also tried to balance that against what our prosecutors are making. The law director is in charge of the prosecutors, and as it turns out, we will have a prosecutor making more than the law director, but I wasn't willing to go up to that number. I think to get the qualified person I want to come in-house and give up all private practice during the workday, this is the number that it's going to take. And this number will allow the city to reduce our budget in the law director's office.
Thank you.
I think it is a fair number. The person I have in mind has agreed with me. Further questions or comments? Mr. Moan, you want to make any comments?
No, I think you covered it.
All right.
Thank you.
I request a motion on this. Mr. Lukey, this is really a personnel issue.
It is, and I'm happy to introduce ordinance number 77-2013. Copies have been previously provided to members of council. Therefore, I'll read by title only. Revising the administrative, departmental, and divisional organization of the city and the codified ordinances thereof by creating the new position of Assistant Director of Law. Amending Sylvania Codified Ordinance Chapter 131, Department of Law, to add the position of Assistant Director of Law under the supervision of the Director of Law from December 1st, 2013 through December 31st, 2013, at which time the position of Assistant Director of Law shall be eliminated. Amending Sylvania Codified Ordinance Section 139.02E3 to set the salary of the Assistant Director of Law at $90,000 annually, and to change the salary of the Director of Law to $90,000 annually, effective January 1st, 2014, waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 77-2013 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage of ordinance number 77-2013.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 77-2013 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 77-2013 is approved. I will report to you that the service director and I are undertaking a small remodeling of the mayor's office quadrant of the second floor of the administration building to accommodate a full-time law director. The original plans for the building show the office currently occupied by Mr. Sanford as the law director's office. I don't know how Mr. Sanford does business in there, but I don't think a law director would have room for all of their papers in there. We have determined that if we take the what was originally the council workroom, I don't know if any of you remember that office. It was designed to be council workroom and all the cabinets. When you go into the IT office now, to the right, there are seven wall and base cabinets. Each councilman had a key to one of those cabinets, and that was intended to be a workspace for you to keep your materials and to have committee meetings in that room. Council really didn't use that room, so we began using it for other purposes. It ended up with IT. Because the zoning office is being merged in with the zone with the service department downstairs, we have determined that we will move the IT office downstairs to where the zoning office right now is. That move will be taking place shortly. We will open a new doorway between the common wall of the mayor's secretary to the IT office. We will recarpet those rooms, and that will become the law director's office before the end of the year. In fact, we're going to try to have it done by December 1st. We're already getting some prices to do that. We'll see if we can get it done. No promises there, but it will be done by the first of the year, I'm sure. And I am here tonight. I don't have copies of my appointment letter with you. And I can tell you that it's been 17 years since I interviewed law directors. Thank you, Mr. Moan. No one could have done better. I interviewed probably 10 people at that time, some of which would have been good law directors, some of which might not have been. We picked a good one. However, this is different this time because we're bringing in a full-time law director as a full-time employee, and we also have a person who has been operating as the assistant law director under Mr. Moan's direction for many years. And it's my determination that I'm going to appoint Leslie Brining to the position of assistant law director from December 1st, 2013 through December 31st, 2013 to overlap Mr. Moan's final month, and then appointment as director of law effective January 1st, 2014. It is only required that you confirm the appointment of the law director, not the assistant law director, that's just another employee, but the law director is a director level and the charter requires your confirmation. I only have one copy of this letter. I can pass it around if you want to see it, but that's what this says. I have appointed Leslie Brining as the new law director of the City of Sylvania effective January 1st, and ask for your confirmation of this appointment.
So moved.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and congratulations, Mrs. Brining.
I know. Good things come.
Thank you. I've worked with you guys for 10 years now, so I just wanted to say thank you. I'm looking forward to continuing to put you and to have Jim around, so that'll be good for all of us, I think. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We also have the original law director of the City of Sylvania that is consulted on a regular basis by Mr. Mull.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of continuity, a lot of institutional experience that we will continue to tap through this process. So thank you for your confirmation of my appointment, and Leslie, we look forward to working with you. You're going to be sitting in this chair beginning about January 3rd, I think it is, or so, and maybe swearing me back into my office. All right, I'll pass this letter the other direction. I am now ready, with everybody's permission, I am ready to move on to agenda item 12. This is an item that was sent to the mayor's office. I know council has taken different tacks on this sort of thing in the past. I thought this one worthy of bringing to your attention because you did not have the benefit of what I got. I got a couple of postcards enclosed in the letter asking our consideration, one of them from Sister Rosine Sobczak over with the Sisters of St. Francis, who is active in these sorts of conservation efforts. I did not want to deny her access to your consideration. I think this is more than just asking us to make Sylvania a nuclear-free zone or something like that. We get our water, drinking water, from Lake Erie. It will change the ecology of the lake if Asian carp get in there. It is a non-binding resolution that they're asking for, just encouraging our elected officials from the president on down to take the action necessary to have a solution for this. I'm not opposed to this, but I don't think we need to take action on this. My recommendation is that we refer this to a committee. My recommendation would probably be, congratulations, Mr. Brown, the Utilities Committee. But that's for council to determine. Discussion.
I'm willing to send it to committee, but I think the results of sending it to committee will probably be the same results. They're just asking for a resolution to put a little pressure on the elected officials, not only in the state of Ohio, but in Washington, to help resolve this issue. There's no cost involved at the present time. I gotta believe down the road, if we don't take care of the problem, there will be a major cost involved. And, you know, based on that, and not sending it to committee, I appreciate your recommendation, but I'd like to just make a motion that, you know, I have the administration prepare a resolution and bring it back to council for our October 21st council meeting for review and discussion at that time.
I'll second that.
Well, I'm going to speak on this. There are a lot of other things I'd rather resolve, frankly, not the least of which is your experience in Maine this weekend and the fact that we're sending young men women from Sylvania to die in a stupid war in Afghanistan that is not serving our interests at all. And if we're going to start adopting resolutions, believe me, I have a long list of them. I got a lot of things that I have a lot of opinions about, and I know a lot more about than Asian carp, which frankly, what a waste of, I think this is a total waste of our time. This is a, I know about this program. I happen to be pretty knowledgeable about it. And I understand that the cost and the effectiveness of what's being called for in here is subject to some significant debate. And so we're going to give this short shrift and, you know, do the nice thing and say we're in favor of putting up this barrier in Chicago that will that may or may not work to stop these Asian carp. And it's something that that frankly we don't know much about. And you know, during my time when we first came on council, we had a number of these resolutions that came up. And what I found consistently was that it's easy to say yes to these things, but the fact is we really don't know much about them. And if we're going to do this, if we're going to move forward with this resolution, you know, I would like to spend the time to learn more about this than just read one-sided letters suggesting this is a good thing.
Well,
and let me finish. I have the floor now, Mike, and then you can speak when I'm done. So if we're going to start back down this path of adopting resolutions about a nuclear-free zone or about opposing the war in Afghanistan or opposing a default on our national debt, all of those things, frankly, a lot of those things are a lot more important than Asian carp. And but that's not what we're here to do. What we're here to do, frankly, I didn't enjoy the feral cat discussion, but we have more responsibility to address feral cats than we do Asian carp. So if this council wants to move forward and adopt this resolution, I guess that's their choice. I'm going to vote no on this and other things of similar nature that come before us because we don't know what we're talking about. We haven't investigated it. We're not prepared to invest the time to thoroughly understand this issue. And I just don't think it's appropriate or within our jurisdiction.
Thank you. And there remains a motion on the floor to prepare this resolution for your consideration at the next council meeting.
Second.
Right. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mrs. Cappellini?
Yes.
Mr. Hanum?
No.
Mrs. Hussman?
Yes.
Mr. Lukey?
Yes.
Mr. Milner?
Yes.
Mrs. Westphal?
Yes.
Vote is 6-1. The motion passes, and we will have this resolution prepared for your consideration at our next meeting. Moving on to agenda item 13, committee reports. Any committee reports to be made at this time? And item 14 is committee referrals. Any to be made at this time? With that, let's move on to added agenda item 15, a discussion of your appointment to the Board of Zoning Appeals. Mr. Hanum.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, in our packet, I noticed we had a reminder that our appointment of Norman Ladd to the Board of Zoning Appeals will expire on December 31st, 2013. Do we know if Mr. Ladd is interested in reappointment, or are we looking to fill this from someone new within our community? Do you have any idea about that?
I have not talked to Norm. This is a council appointment, but I'd be happy to talk to Norm. He is a member of the construction industry, and I think
right.
He's a qualified member of the board. But it's certainly up to you to decide who you want.
Well, I think as a matter of process, we have, four meetings before this, maybe five.
Oh, yeah, you've got plenty of time.
We've got four or five meetings. But we need to, but if we're going to advertise for the position, if Mr. Ladd isn't going to seek a reappointment, and if we're going to advertise, we don't have that much time. So I guess what I'm most interested in here is talking about process. And I was wondering if you would, if the administration would be willing to contact Mr. Ladd and assess his willingness to continue his service so that we know whether we need to fill that.
Yeah. That would I know Mr. Ladd, I'll be happy to do that.
Or Mark, well, I remember calling him last time, because this was in the Community Relations Committee. I don't need to, but I'm happy to, you tell me.
Whatever, this is a council appointment?
Yeah.
Well, Mark, would you mind?
Yeah, I would, and if I could, ask council's permission if he doesn't, if he's not interested, to talk with the clerk about noticing the vacancy.
Yeah, I think that would be appropriate.
And starting the process, if not, I'll come back and report. We're certain that he still lives in the city, correct?
No, I'm not.
Okay, I think that we need to check that out. He had moved from his previous residence, but when I talked to him before, but he was still in the city, so I'll confirm that as well.
Would be good to do, we don't want to reappoint somebody that's not a resident.
Yep.
Okay. Enough discussion, Mr. Hanem?
I'm good with that.
Let's move on to added agenda item 16, which is a similar discussion about council's second appointment to the CRA districts that you've established. I know it was the last meeting, or maybe two meetings ago, you appointed Mrs. Capellini to one of the seats. You still have an empty seat to appoint.
And the reason I bring this up is I noticed we got email correspondence from indicating that we have two individuals who have expressed some interest in the position. And I was, and so, again, I'm raising a process question.
Yeah.
How do we intend to proceed?
Yeah, I think I took my eye off the ball here briefly on this. We have two appointments and two interested parties. We haven't really vetted them at all, have we, Katie? And I think probably it would be appropriate, before we're done here, to call a real, a quick, set a Community Relations Committee meeting and ask them to come in and visit with us.
That's great.
So thank you for reminding us of that. I know that there's some urgency to getting these seats filled, so maybe, when we're done with this item, Mayor, unless you want to do it right now, we can schedule a committee meeting.
I'll do it right now.
Yeah, okay. So that's Mike, Katie, Sandy, and myself.
So are we expecting applicants to come to this meeting?
I think we ought to, huh? Unless you just want to look at the resumes.
No, I think it's a good idea, but we should maybe pick a couple dates in case.
Yeah, and I'd suggest we do it maybe at the end of the afternoon, so if they're working, they can come. Is that yes or no?
Yeah, I mean, I think the dates, one of them has spread up, maybe two or three.
Dates? Yeah.
We wouldn't, maybe we could contact, we don't have to set the meeting tonight. Maybe we could contact them and then, but, public notice.
Do we want to try to get a recommendation, though, by our next meeting on the 21st? That would probably be helpful, right, Mr. Mullins?
We can do it, sure.
Let's just pick 2 days that could be good, and then we'll check with the people.
Great.
You know, let's do this, let's not do that. Let me call them both and see when they're available. It'd be great to get them back to back, and then I can set the meeting. Is that fine? Could you give me the contact information for these folks? Do you have it?
Yeah, it should be on.
Just email that, we can have it emailed again.
Yeah, I'm sure I have it, but it would be quicker, Sharon, if you could find it.
I think we'll attach them from somebody.
You got these, Sharon?
Yes, I do, I sent them to everybody.
Yeah, right. Okay, thank you, again, thank you for raising that.
Mr. Milner?
One thing I'd like to add this evening, is this an appropriate place to?
Certainly is, Mr. Milner.
I talked with Mr. Auer at the beginning of the meeting. As Streets Committee Chairman, I just wanted to commend both the Gleason Company and the Gherkin Company. The Monroe Street reconstruction has got to be the smoothest piece of paving I have ever seen done in our city. My wife and I were going down the other day, and when it just opened up, and it looks just like glass. I drive to work every day on a county road that was just reconstructed, and it's amazing how bumpy it is. And I just want to publicly thank these two companies and their workers for their work, for an excellent job.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. That was appropriate comments. We appreciate that. I'm very happy to have those back up again. and they did turn out well. And it's surprisingly how cooperative almost all of the people using those roads were. We had a few people that complained, but not many. Those people cooperated, and I appreciate that cooperation.
And at the same time, I want to thank Mr. Aller and his department for all their work. It was a busy season with Monroe Street and the Erie Street Bridge, and they did a great job getting these projects coordinated and done.
The addition of Joe Shaw as the deputy service director, I think, has been very helpful to that department and to Mr. Aller. I can't tell you how many times I drove past those projects, and Joe was out there talking to the contractor. That's terrific. I think that's contributed both to the quality and the schedule of those jobs. All right. We are at the end of our agenda. I want to point out a couple of the memos to you. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, I was going to say something. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Now is the time.
Okay, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. Kevin Hayes, Sylvania Market Trustee, 4136 Shanley Green. Just got back from Columbus. Did you guys know about the cuts that they're doing on the 911? And they're reducing us down to 5 next year, and then it'll be 4 the following year?
The PSAPs, yes, we've been talking about that for several months.
Okay, because we're voting Wednesday at the Township Association meeting at Sylvania Township about our representative. So just wanted to give you that brief. And they had a guy that was on Senate trying to get the rollback added on at November's election, but that got blown away. So the new levy coming up for the disabilities will be 100% paid because it is a replacement levy. It's not going to be a renewal. Just so everybody knows that.
And which levy is that?
That's the disabilities levy that's going to be on the November ballot.
It's a countywide levy?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for that information.
No problem.
I'd like to draw council's attention to information item A. Mr. Sanford has given a report of current status of the Balfour neighborhood, and particularly his work with Mrs. B. I'm sure Mr. Sanford would make himself available if anybody has any questions about that. We appreciate the up-to-date information. Did we have any representatives from Balfour here tonight?
Yes.
There you are. Thank you. We're glad you're here. And then also, agenda item B, the monthly tax report. It is plus 4.39% through the course of the year. That's marginally above the 4.2% budgeted. This is moving in the right direction, but it's far less than windfall. We appreciate the good news. This is 3/4 of the way through the year, so it's looking pretty solid, but we'll, of course, continue to report to you on a monthly basis. We are entering the budgeting season of the year. Mr. Schroyer has been working with department heads. And you want to discuss your schedule or what you're going to do, Mr. Schroyer? I know that it's on my agenda that we're back to council the first meeting in December to pass the budget. But
we started the process this year a month earlier. So we're well ahead of schedule. I'll probably put an email out the next couple of weeks when I get some more solid figures. But to try to sell, we'll set up a finance committee meeting and go from there.
Okay. Thank you. You'll be in touch with the finance committee, I'm sure. All right. Mr. Brown? Oh. No. All right. Any further items to discuss?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Mrs. Husband.
I just have some notes about Skatacular to save the date, so I won't go into it. But please save the date and plan to attend. And if you want to win $1,000, check with me. I have raffle tickets. And I'd be delighted to sell you $20 gets.
I'm told the winning ticket's already been sold twice.
The mayor has the winning ticket, but don't let that lead you astray. 200 tickets. If we sell 200 tickets, it's $1,000 you get to win. And we will only sell 200 tickets. So you have a 1 in 200 chance to win $1,000. Even though the mayor already has the winning ticket.
Somehow I am skeptical of that claim.
But please keep it in mind. I'll pass around the little date reminder.
It's just part of the sales spiel, I think. All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned until its next regularly scheduled meeting 2 weeks from tonight on Monday, October 21st at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all for attending.